as well. That if you seek Jesus, and if you make Christ and put Christ in Christmas, you will have conflict around you as well. What's fascinating about these guys is some of the things that they have to teach us about God. For certain, God makes every effort to reach every person, no matter how far away they are from Him. He draws them from near and from far. And He gives people revelation. A light in the sky, a dream, a message, a teaching, a sermon, whatever it might be, somewhere along the line, you probably received some revelation. See, there's a divine intervention in this quest for the Magi to find the one born king of the Jews. It seems logical that they would even ask the current king, where's the new king? Seems like the current king might know where the new king is. Where's the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. That was your first one that they ask. They ask. And just a note, by the way, when Jesus was crucified, Pontius Pilate hung a sign on the cross over his head. Does anybody know what it said? King of the Jews. It said, King of the Jews. From the beginning, King of the Jews. The end, King of the Jews. God's going to stir up in the people a heart that's going to contemplate Him. They're going to question God. They're going to question about God. Where is God? Who is God? Why God? Which God? Have you ever even asked these types of questions? Is He real? Does He still speak to people today? From the poverty of Mary and Joseph to the wealth of the Magi, God still speaks. And He speaks in Revelation concerning the King of the Jews. God gives personal revelation. There's your next slide. God gives personal revelation. We all need some divine intervention. Anybody? Many people are searching for God. These Magi certainly were. They had seen His star, the shining light, and they pursued it. And it was not an easy journey for them. They had traveled hundreds of miles over a course of probably a couple years. Now, these Magi were probably remnants from the time of Daniel, when Daniel was held in captivity in Babylon. Daniel was in charge of, as the chief administrator, anybody got a guess? The king found favor upon him and put him in charge over the Magi. All the astrologers and the scientists and the mathematicians and the Magi. Daniel in charge. Are probably a remnant from there, because due east from Jerusalem, from Bethlehem, Israel, is what we call Baghdad, Babylon. Look it up. From the east came the Magi. Some people react well to divine intervention. They feel something, they experience something, they know it seems miraculous. Some people react well, some not so well. Herod did not react very well. He was threatened by a new king. It would shake up any kind of paranoid tyrant, right? His heart filled with jealousy and with fear of losing his throne. And he does the unimaginable, even the unspeakable. But if you continue reading, the scriptures are clear. In an attempt to eliminate any threat to his throne, he orders the massacre of all male children in Bethlehem under the age of 2. There's a tyrant ruler who is living in jealousy and in fear and reacting to a fulfillment of prophecy. And it really is a fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecy. Many people are looking for answers, but they're looking in all the wrong places. There's a lot of Herods. They're deceptive in their schemes. People even today plot to eliminate Jesus. They want to take Christ out of Christmas. Let's just have a happy holiday. Well, Merry Christmas to you. There are others, they'll consider him, then respectfully reject him. Some will follow after him, some will seek him, some will respond to him, some will honor, some will worship this divine intervention and personal revelation that you, which are you? And I would think that most of you are responding in such a way as that you're hungry, and so you come to a church, and so you're seeking this God, you're seeking this teaching, you want something more, you desire something. So this is you seeking, this is you honoring, this is you worshiping, this is you responding and reacting to the divine intervention in your life. And here's your next slide. See, you're on a personal journey of a lifetime. You're on a financial journey of a lifetime. You're on an emotional journey of a lifetime. You're on a physical journey. You're stuck in this body for your lifetime. You're on a spiritual journey of a lifetime. Will you choose to engage it or ignore it? Will you choose to engage him and seek this great, amazing God, or ignore him and reject him? Some will follow Jesus, some will not. Which are you? When King Herod heard about this, he was very disturbed, and even all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. Well, in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet had written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. This is in Micah. And so there's an answer. There's your next slide. There's an answer. Time for answers, folks. People get answers. They just don't always like the answers they get. The Magi were grateful for the answer, and they went on their way. Herod had the same answer, but went a different way. The Jewish people thought that the promised Messiah was for the Jews only, not for the Gentiles. In fact, most of, if not majority, of all the followers of Christ were almost exclusively Jewish. Yet very clearly, from the beginning, God was inviting those that were outside of Israel. Highly unlikely these Magi shared the religion of the Jewish people, even though they had probably, from centuries, had heard and know the teaching of this Daniel prophet. These Magi, learned scientists, cultural astrologers, astronomers, a lot of knowledge, a lot of wisdom, most likely priests, not kings. The scriptures never call them kings. Most likely priests. God is doing something different. He's doing something different with his creation, and it's going to feel a little bit weird. It's going to look a little bit weird, kind of like some of you today. God doing something different within you. And he never abandons you. He never forsakes you. He never leaves you alone. You are never too far away from God. If God can reach some pagan astrologers, he's still working on people that you might think are far, far away. You're hanging out in the land of Bethlehem and celebrating Jesus, while far, far away in Baghdad, there's a terrorist. God can reach him. A pagan astronomer, God can reach him. God never gives up on anyone and uses really whatever means necessary to help lead them into Christ. Now listen carefully, because I've already alluded to it. Listen, they hear the same message. They get the answer, but they have a different response. The Magi had a response. Herod had a response to the same answer, to the same Jesus. In this case, God sent a message using an astrological event, a star, to signal them that they needed to search for this child as the King of the Jews. He knew exactly, this is God knew exactly what would move the Magi to the place of worship to fulfill prophecy. He knew exactly what would move Herod to the place to fulfill prophecy. Herod fulfilled prophecy. Magi fulfilled prophecy. Same answer, different response and reactions. God knows. God has it under control. He always has, and he always will. The Magi knew the significance of Jesus' birth. It moved stars. His birth moved stars. The Lord knows exactly what it's going to take to move you. Will you seek him? Will you seek him today? Will you open your heart to receive that which he might have for you? Even if it's an answer you don't necessarily want to hear. I don't want to forgive them. It took an astrological sign to move these educated and scientific men. What's it going to take for you? For most people, unfortunately, it takes a crisis. Many begin their walk with Christ as crisis Christians. Problems and trials and tribulations and fear and illness, death, the contemplation of their own soul. So they seek Christ. They seek God. We cry for relief of pain. We cry for the relief of circumstance. Lord, help me out here. What's it going to take for you to follow him? Turmoil? More struggles? A thorn in your side? Broken hearts? Isolation? Tragedy? War? How about a hope? How about a peace that would transcend all understanding? How about seeking that? How about a joyfulness that this world does not know of? That the Magi would grab hold of and walk for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles and months and months and months and seek, because their journey is a journey of a lifetime. And they wanted to be filled with God and spirituality and love and peace and hope and reassurance. There's something different that was going on. And if there's something different going on with you, it's going to seem a little weird. It's going to feel a little weird, because it's not going to line up with the world. But you'll be fulfilling and a fulfillment of prophecy. Do you need a crisis to begin a search for God? Do you need a shooting star? Do you need to ask for directions? Are you looking for a sign? Here's a sign. If you've been looking for a sign to follow Jesus, there you go. There's your sign. Want another one? Here's another one. Give you a sign. That means, yeah, still second on the third pitch. Close. I'm willing to bet you can find God if you look for him. I'm willing to bet you can find him if you seek him. I bet you can find him in his word. I bet you can find him in a good church. I bet you can find him in the scriptures. I bet you can find him among other believers. I bet you can find him right here, right now, today. I bet he's closer than you think he is. The questions you ask and the answers you get, how will you respond? Because he's not going to leave you abandoned. He's not going to remain unattached. It just may be you don't like the answer that you're getting, or you're responding in a way that's of the world and not of God. Peter, get thee behind me. You want the ways of man, not the ways of God. And this Peter just declared him the Messiah. And then Peter does something silly, just like all of us. Give careful thought to your ways. Because it's not all about your finances. It's not all about your physical body. It's not all about your emotion and how you feel. God is doing something so much bigger with you. With you. And what really boggles my mind is not that the Magi would seek him out or even that we would seek him out. What boggles my mind is that this infinite God would come here. That this amazing God is interested in you. That this magnificent, miraculous God is interested in us. That he came here for you. That this God wants to redeem you back into a right relationship. He doesn't want to leave you hanging out there under the curse. He wants to redeem you back. That's what's mind-boggling to me. In this wonderful moment of the Messiah, the Emmanuel, God with us. It's Christmas. Merry Christmas. God thought enough of you to come here. That's what boggles my mind. Religion is just man trying to find God. It's just man trying to desperate attempts to all different ways, all different types, all different denominations, all kinds of different doctrines and policies, all this religion trying to reach up for God. And then here comes Jesus, God reaching down to you. Mind-boggling to me. It's overwhelming to my soul that he even thinks that much of me, that he even thinks of me at all, and that he would know you, everything about you, and he knows what it's going to take to move you to a place of honor. Honoring him, worshiping him, praising him, glorifying him, and turning your life over to him. The Holy Spirit breaks through this plane of physical dimension and punches a hole into this world. And he resets the clock. He shakes the stars. The creator becomes creation. All heaven is celebrating. All hell, heaven's going, we've never seen anything like, we've never seen God do anything like this before. For you, to reach you, to redeem you, to save you. God walking among us again. God living as one of us. There is only one Jesus. Everything else, religion. You want to understand spirituality? You want to go deeper in your walk? Know Jesus. Get to know Jesus. He'll reveal everything you need to know. Herod called the Magi secretly, and he found out from them the exact time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem. And he said, go and search carefully for the child, and as soon as you find him, well, report back to me so that I may go and worship him also. There's your next one, deception. That's deception. So I don't know how the Magi left there. We know later they get revelation to not go back to tell Herod, right? So did they leave rejoicing? Oh, the new king, the current king knows where the new king is. How amazing. That's wonderful. Herod's got a big smile on his face. On your way, boys. It's going to be wonderful. Can't wait to worship this new king with you. Uh-huh. Pinocchio's nose, right? And bigger and bigger. There's an attempt at deception. The rest of the chapter gives you the story. These pagan astronomers that only had partial information about a Jewish Messiah set off on a journey of faith to find Christ, the King of the Jews. I'd imagine, isn't everybody looking for God? Nope. Isn't everybody excited about the newborn king? Nope. Isn't everybody excited? It's Christmas time, baby. Yeah, no. Isn't everybody excited about peace, unity, harmony? Yeah, no. Some people live to live in the drama. Not everybody's interested in peace, unity, and harmony. Some are more interested in power, prestige, wealth. Some are much more interested in the things of this world. What are you interested in? The Magi were diligent in their task, and they continued to be receptive to the Lord's leading, wherever it led them. They had plans. They knew. We're going to go back to King Herod and tell him there's a new... Nope. And they had to be sensitive to what God was doing in their lives, just like you do. And just think about that for a second, right? Was Herod a believer? Was Herod a believer? Oh, he believed he was the king of the Jews. He believed that there was a newborn baby that was being born that was going to be called the king of the Jews. He believed about a prophecy fulfillment. Oh, he believed, but not in the ways that the Magi did. There are many who say they believe, but not in such a way as that they'll follow him. Oh, they say they believe, but not in such a way as they'll come to church. Oh, they say they believe, but not in such a way as, you know, that they'll seek him ever. They say they believe, but, you know, you never see him in a Bible study. Oh, they say they believe, but you never hear him pray. Oh, they say they believe, but, you know, they never give an offering. Oh, they say they believe, but, you know, they never pray for anybody but themselves. Oh, they believe. Herod believed. Even the demons believe. And you know them by their actions. What you do speaks so loudly, I cannot hear what you're saying. They will know we are Christians. How? By our love. By our love, they will know we are Christians. And it's so easy to get distracted from your calling. The attempt to do good will be met with an attempt to distract you from doing it. It was not an easy task for the Magi to travel like they did for as long as they did to seek. They were on a journey of a lifetime like you. Here's your next slide. See, there's this Newton's third law of motion. You familiar with this? I'm sure you've all heard of it, right? Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Good, evil, up, down, east, west, north, south, give, get, love, apathy, happy, sad. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Now watch. Newton's law has to do with force, There has to be a force of action for there to be a reaction. An opposing force, we would say, an opposite force. The exertion of a force is good, but there's also an exertion of force for bad. You exert some force for encouragement, there's also going to be a force for discouragement. And it's not just that there's an opposite. It's that there is a force, an opposition. There's a lot of forces trying to distract you. Forces trying to keep you from church, trying to keep you from Bible study, trying to keep you from prayer, trying to keep you from realizing your personal journey and fulfilling your God-sized mission. Forces that will come against you, that looking for your reaction, looking for your response. You know, there's a lot of forces that come against me in a church. It's remarkable all the things that come against me when I'm just trying to preach the word of God. But there's all kinds of distractions every single week. I'll get people that would love to tell me about all their distractions. I could not possibly worship in this church, Pastor. You do not have enough reverence for the Lord. I mean, look at all the silliness that you're wearing. Pastor, I could not possibly even begin to worship in this place. I mean, her dress is way too short. I could not possibly begin to worship in this place. I mean, I know they're living in sin. I know they're doing drugs. I know all about them. You don't want them in your church. Preach a good message. Thanks. Pastor, it's too hot. It's too cold. The children are too loud. The words on the screen, they're just entirely too small. Who can even see that? And listen, every time you preach, it never fails. Somebody's phone's going to ring. I can't deal with these distractions. And every time you're just about to make a great point, somebody up front stands up and walks down the aisle. What a distraction. I'm just trying to fulfill my mission. Listen, I know all about the distractions. I have all the same ones. All the same forces that are at work on you are at work on me. But you know what I do? I focus. I stay focused on the mission. I'm sure there were times the Magi, you know, they got tired, but they kept going. The camels got hungry, but they just kept going. They just kept staying focused on the mission. And there might have been a lot of complaints. Why are we going this way? We got things to do. We shouldn't be over here. We just left our country. Why are we doing the things that we're doing? Stay focused. You cannot eliminate all the distractions, but you can increase your focus. Stay focused on the mission, not the distraction. Stay focused on the force of good, not the force of evil. But do you even know what your mission is? Do you even know why you're here today? Seeking something deeper, I hope. Something that'll elevate your spirit, something that'll help you stay focused on the reason for the season, to stay on Christ, to charge up your soul so that I don't get lost and lazy in this world when God's calling me to something bigger and better. Mission, Jesus. Mission, Jesus. That's always been the mission. That should always be the mission. Jesus. Your mission should not be to fill out complaint cards and tell the pastor what's going wrong in the church. That's not your mission. The wise men knew their mission, and the wise person knows their mission. Are you seeking what God has for you, and are you fulfilling that purpose? Do you believe you have a God-sized purpose? And what's a God-sized purpose? See, if you have a God-sized purpose and you're focused on it, All the distractions, they're annoyances. They're small annoyances, and they're trivial. And it's not worth the pursuit, right? It's not worth a trivial pursuit. Otherwise, you spend all your time just trying to manage all the distractions so that they're not distractions. And that's all the distraction wants to do, is distract you. And mission accomplished. Stay focused on love, not on the force of hardship. Stay focused on peace, not on the distraction of the discord among your family. Stay focused on the good stuff, on the goodness of God, not the force of hatred that's coming at you from the world. Stay focused on that reason for the season. Jesus, the mission, Jesus. What are you focused on? What are you wasting? What are you spending, investing your life into? And what words are coming out of your mouth? Are they encouraging or discouraging? Are they hateful or are they helpful? Are they loving or are they degrading? Are you sure you're on the right mission? Are you sure you're doing the things that God is asking of you to do that He might bless you in accomplishing the task, the mission for which you were created? Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, and He rewards those that seek Him. And when we find Him, we stay focused on Him. And when we do that, everything else falls into place. Everything else falls into place. And I promise you, you can begin to see the eyes of those that want to distract you and take you off mission and get you to waste your valuable time on things of the world and things that are temporary. God has called you for something so much more significant and so much more revelatory for your soul, so much healthier for your soul. We cannot be weekend Christians only, and we cannot be crisis Christians only. I come running to Christ, you know, every time I got to go to the doctor, I'm asking for prayer. I have no praise reports, rarely ever give a praise report, but let me tell you, I got a prayer sheet this long. Amen? The Magi were rewarded for their journey of faith. They met the Christ. They met the Christ. And when they got there, they offered Him their best. On coming to the house, they saw the child with Mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped Him. Then they opened up their treasures and presented Him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. There's your next one, worship. Hey, worship. That's why we're here. I love to come to church on Sunday because I love to worship. I just love to praise Him. I love to hear you sing. When the congregation is lifting up their voice in one accord, oh man, that's everybody participating. The body in unity and harmony, and the Spirit is moving. The Spirit's bringing healing and revelation. That's us. It's not the praise team. Not the praise team. They're just playing a song. Why are they playing a song? That we all might worship Him together and honor Him and praise Him and glorify Him and sing off key like me. And they offer Him their best, right? Gold for because of His kingship, frankincense because of His divinity, myrrh for His death and His sacrifice. Men of wisdom. These are men of knowledge, wealth. These are outsiders from distant lands that come and bow before the Christ. And their actions are so much more than reverence and admiration. I really believe it's a declaration. It's a declaration that Jesus is beyond borders. He's bigger than culture. He's bigger than nations. For Him, time is limitless and expansive. But have you ever even pursued anything in your life so greatly that it changed you? Most of us might relate this to the terms of love. We might relate it in terms of love. I need him so much. I need him so much. I'd just do anything for him. I need her so badly. I need her so much in my life. I would change who I am. I would do anything to be with them. You've probably said it. You probably know it. Most of us experience that. Have you ever desired something so greatly that it would change you? It would change your direction. I'd do anything. I'd go anywhere. Do you love Jesus that much? Do you love Jesus that much? I love you so much. I'd do anything. I'd change my life for you. Lord, I love you so much, I would change my habits for you. I would change what I think about other people for you. I'm so desperate for Jesus. I would change. How about you? The Magi's journey shows us what true worship requires. It requires seeking and sacrifice, surrender, and change. Are you willing to go the distance to honor your King? Are you willing to go the distance to honor your Lord? See, it's a journey of a lifetime, for a lifetime. My journey was a lot like the Magi. I was not an easy journey. I got lost along the way several times. I had to ask for directions. Thank God for good mentors and good coaches and a wonderful wife. There were times the only thing I had to give Jesus was my problems and my burdens. I got nothing for you, Lord. All I got is all the struggle. All I got's all the pain. All I got's all the disappointment. I'm feeling as if I'm failing you, Lord, on my journey. It's all I got. I got nothing else. And he takes it. And he takes it. And he takes it. And he takes me. And he takes you in your messed up life. And he takes you in your convoluted, messed up thoughts and your confusion and misunderstanding of understanding who he is. And he takes you. And he says, I got you. I got you and I love you. Have you spoken of Christmas with a joy-filled heart? Have you spoken about Christmas concerning what Christ has done for you personally? Are you committed to seeking him and finding him and seeing him and hearing him and learning and growing from him? See, once the wise men arrived at Jesus, the first thing they did was worship him. This was my act of worship. I got nothing but my problems and my trials and my tribulations and my hurts and my pain. But I believe in him and I give him everything I got, which I didn't feel like it was anything. And to him, it was everything. I felt like nothing, and to him, everything. How do we miss that? And how do we not share that? How do we not skip out of church with the joyfulness of the Lord in our hearts to the very depths of our souls? Because he brings healing to the way in which I thought about me, about my life, about my significance. God changes all of that when you love him so much You'll do anything. You'll go anywhere. You'll give them all you got. Once the wise men arrived at Jesus, you know, they worshiped him. They didn't worship Mary. They didn't admire the house. Hey, what a great bathroom. Love the painting on the wall. They didn't admire the house. And they didn't hide their gold. They bowed down and they worshiped Jesus. Here's your next slide. If you get anything out of this message today at all, make it this: worship Jesus only. Go home singing that. Worship Jesus only. Not people, not money, not governments, not created things. Jesus and Jesus only. Seek him. Honor him. Follow him. Have you ever felt like sometimes the forces of the world are just coming against you, right? There's a Newton's law that sometimes is just like it feels like it's all a reaction against you. Like you're just struggling to get ahead. You're struggling to make ends meet. You're trying to fulfill your mission. Well, I'm telling you, there are forces that are coming against you. Much like distractions. But they're coming against you because you are not of this world. God has marked you for something much more significant. He's marked you for eternity. And because he's marked you, you're marked. And the enemy comes at you. Newton's full law is in full force in my life. I'm certain of that, particularly in my spiritual life. Oftentimes you try to do good, but there's always something bad. Every time you try and love, there's always hurt and there's always pain. See, but you are a force to be reckoned with. And there are forces that want to wreck you. Because you're a force to be reckoned with. Because you are marked. And the birth of Christ reminds us that the plans of God are steadfast and they are solid. Even when it seems like evil's going to prevail. Even when it seems like Herod got away with a lot of stuff and it was pure evil, God's plan still survives. God's plan is still carried out in you. Jesus' birth makes a bold statement that he operates in an entirely different realm. And if you are in Christ, your life is in an entirely different realm. And you need to learn how to walk in that realm, how to love in that realm, how to discipline in that realm, how to be able to honor Christ when chaos is all around you. Because it's not about grandeur. It's not about all the great things that you're going to accomplish. It's not about political dominance. It's about transforming hearts. It's about the hurting soul that needs some joy. It's about the hurting heart that needs some hope. It's about redeeming lives and saving souls from the pits of hell. Christmas is a celebration of Jesus. Christmas is a celebration of joy. Christmas is a celebration. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. But not just for a few days. How about all year long? Amen? Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here, to just hear your word, to be with your people, to have fun in your house, to play dress up, even to just be children. Father, I thank you that we can celebrate Christmas even like a child, for we are your children. And Father, you smile upon us. I pray your favor continue to fall upon us. Work among us, Father, in this place. Continue your good works. In the name of your Son, I would pray. Amen.